hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, to kick off today's show, to dovetail on last week's adventure at the Surf Expo, where they featured, more bikini models than any other convention show on the planet. Bill, the producer, had to go on hiatus this week. He just couldn't deal with doing the show this week, so he needed some time to recover, and we'll get his feedback again next week. But, you know, believe it or not, we actually did cover some substantive information for divers last week. Came across some new products, some new things. We talked to Jim Elliott there from Dive Heart and mentioned the fact that he had just been down in the Keys with Pete from Scuba Board to do an adaptive scuba course. And Pete is on Scuba Radio to kick off the show today to tell us about it. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing great, man. How is it up in Orlando today?
It is fine. It's beautiful. And we're ready to talk diving for at least an hour or two. Okay, so you've been down in the Keys there with Dive Heart, which does a great organization, diveheart.org. Check them out online. They take people underwater that have disabilities or physical challenges and let them experience the joy of diving. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, right, Pete?
Yeah, and it really didn't even have to have an injury. It's just any physical or mental challenge.
So it's a great program. They do a lot of great work all around the world. Once again, diveheart.org. Now, you just got involved on a level that I wasn't aware of, but Jim mentioned that he had been down in the Keys with you to certify you as an adaptive scuba instructor, or you're in the process of finishing that up. Is that the case?
I've got one more day to do, Greg, but I tell you, it was an amazing and eye-opening experience to have your eyes closed while diving.
Now, what did that entail exactly? What are you saying, that they made you the disabled diver so you could relate, or what are you saying there exactly?
Exactly, you got to have empathy for what's going down there, and sometimes we don't realize just how many senses we use when we're diving. The first thing they did was they put me in a blackout mask where I couldn't see anything. I had to assemble my gear blind. I had to walk to the pool blind, put on my fins blind, jump in the water blind, and be led around the pool by another diver.
Interesting. So this is what they do to introduce you to the process? Or,
correct.
So they cover up, they blind you. So how would you describe that for someone who's never done that before? I mean, I guess you could just put your face or hands over your mask and swim around and see if you could, stay buoyant or what?
And take your hands off and see where you're at.
Okay.
We actually put a black plastic bag in the mask, so there was no way I could see anything.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
You know, as much as I appreciate the fact that blind people went diving, I don't think I understood why until I went through this, because it was a liberating thing to be underwater in neutral and still not able to see.
Well, did you feel vertigo or anything like that, or how would you describe it then?
I think everyone does a little different. My buddy was pretty petrified when she was going blind, but I enjoyed it. I had a great time. In fact, you know, we do things that blind people don't normally do, like we do a dolphin don underwater without any help, you know, taking the BC off and putting it on, and I found that fun. Then we did a off and ditch, you know, where you drop your gear and you swim for the surface. That was kind of fun, but even more fun was actually diving back down and putting your gear on underwater that you had to find. And it was just amazing.
Hey, there's always the question of why would someone who's blind want to dive? But I have talked to several folks that do just that, and they just rave about it. You would think these were just brand new divers that had no disability or issue or challenge or whatsoever, and they just love the fact of doing it, feeling around the bottom. So did you take some of that in as well, or were you just working on the skills?
I got to feel stuff in the pool. When my buddy did her blind thing, we were at Jules. You know that undersea place in Key Largo called Jules Underwater?
Yeah.
It's an awesome place to dive if you haven't been there. They've got a habitat there that you can actually sleep in overnight. I got to escort this diver who was blinded just like I was around that habitat where she could touch the windows. She could touch other things that weren't encrusted in coral because, of course, you never want to touch coral.
Right.
And we went from there, from being blind, to being a paraplegic where they bound our legs together and we had to scuba dive with only our hands.
Interesting.
And that was interesting. In fact, I found that harder than the blind part.
Okay. They don't try they don't combine them on you, thank God, though, I'm hoping,
they
right?
They did, thank God. The funniest one was when we did the quadriplegic where all I could move is my head and my neck. And this lady, first time ever trying to guide someone who was a quad, you know, even though I was play acting, she brought me down upside down with my head tilted about 45 degrees down and my feet above my head on top of that. So, you know, drug me through the mud, drug me over coral. It's like, you know, this is not how you do it. But it helped me to understand that, you know, when you're diving with a paraplegic, you know, you've got to be in control.
Yeah, they have no way to control any of that, and it's your full responsibility, I guess, right?
Well, you've got to clear their mask for them. You've got to push your hand, your fingers down by their nose so they can blow their ears. You've got to go down very slow. You've got to do constant communication, and you have to realize that while you're making hand signals, all they can signal back is yes or no. They can only shake their head.
Wow. Yeah, really. So, how long of a course is this taking, or how many days of diving like this are you doing there, Pete?
It's a 4 or 5 day course, about 3 days of diving. I've got one more day to go. I actually wore myself out in the first 2 days and had to stop at the beginning of class. It's a very intense, it's a very fun. I mean, I had more fun in that class than I think I've had in any other class, all my other classes combined.
Well, I would imagine doing those skills or those drills that you just explained would make you a better diver regardless if you were dealing with that or not. If you can dive around and do a ditch and don with your eyes closed or go to the surface and go down and get your gear and put it on underwater without being able to see, just that skill alone could be a valuable lesson even for, you know, bad visibility, you know, wreck conditions or something like that in a cave, maybe.
I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that. A few of the people taking this class, I think one had only 20 dives.
Really?
And, you know, she was just awesome. She was, you know, she had a lot to learn. She had to learn about controlling her own buoyancy. You've got to control your own before you control someone else's.
Right.
But she picked it right up. She was like, ah, you could see in her eyes that she was, that she had figured it out.
Nice. All right. So the skills or this training that you achieved, do you get a card for this or is this just a program you go through so you can participate? I mean, or what? What kind of a official certification do you get out of this?
You know, we need to get the man Jim Elliott on the phone to ask him this. You know, Jim has been a good friend of mine for a long time, and I support DiveHeart. I think I'd be becoming an adaptive scuba instructor. But you know what? Even if I didn't get a card, and even if I don't get a card, I learned a lot in the class, and it was just fun.
There you go. Well, yeah, every little bit of a training you can get in only makes you a better diver, whether you use that training in the field or professionally or not. Where are you off to next? You were telling me earlier before we went on the air today, Cave Country is in your horizon or on the horizon for you or what?
That's for sure. We're heading to Cave Country on Friday. We're actually going to an art exhibition, the opening of an art exhibition in Key West Thursday night with Joe Weatherby and the Ships to Reef gang. They're having, I don't know if you've seen the underwater paintings they had on the Vandenberg.
The underwater paintings?
They have underwater paintings that they have pictures of the Vandenberg with people doing stuff on them. It's like pretty surreal. You'll see this ship with fish, and you'll see a little boy chasing a butterfly.
Okay, so an art display on the Vandenberg. I have not heard about this.
Oh, dude, it's just awesome. They actually used magnets, and they put it on the side of the Vandenberg. So as you were diving the Vandenberg, you were actually seeing these pictures. It was like the surreal times, too, because you're on the Vandenberg, diving the Vandenberg, seeing these surreal pictures about the Vandenberg.
All right. Well, when you get back from Cave Country, give us a call and check in. We'll see how things were. I need to get out and do some diving, obviously, in the Keys and maybe in Cave Country, too. All right. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Release the sharks! Mr. Powers, you'll notice that all of the sharks have laser beams attached to their heads. I figure every creature deserves a warm meal.
Dr. Evil, it's about the sharks. When you were frozen, they were put on the endangered species list. We tried to get some, but it would have taken months to clear up the red tape.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. Now, evidently, my cycloptic colleague informs me that that can't be done. Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here. What do we have?
Sea bass.
Right.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. All right, so, you know, I get a lot of stuff via email and press releases, via fax, that kind of thing, every weekend, week out here at headquarters. And every once in a while, I get something kind of cool, especially from friends I haven't talked to in a while that are working on new projects. And one of them is from our friend Alberto at DiveNav. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Alberto, how are you, my friend? Long time, no chat.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Greg. Thank you. And what about you?
I'm good. We're just kicking back talking about scuba diving things. And I know you got a new thing. I mean, like your hands aren't full enough with DiveNav, that dive computer simulator website that you got going on. It's DiveNav.com, by the way, right? Am I right? DiveNav?
Yeah, DiveNav.com is our corporate website. The simulator is on e-diving.
Right.
The other product we have is DiveComputerTraining.com, where we stream online classes for dive computers so people, divers, can learn how to use them. And the last product, service is DivePal, that is a dive planner analyzer. And the one we just announced that is running on Kickstarter is BlueBuddy.
That's right. So, yeah, he put out this thing on Kickstarter, which is that website where you go to get funding for new projects, new technology, that kind of thing. And you've come up with this BlueBuddy device, and that's what you're promoting at Kickstarter, BlueBuddy. And, yeah. And I guess you can just go to Kickstarter.com and type in BlueBuddy, B-L-U-E, Buddy. Hopefully it'll pop right up that way. But tell us about this thing. It looks pretty cool. This is kind of like a new type of, dive logging, device. You can, clip onto your BC, right?
Yeah. So to find it on Kickstarter, you just go there and with search projects, you write DiveNav and it's going to show up. So all the other products I mentioned are mainly software products. Either computer games or apps for various smartphones. This is our first hardware product, so you can touch it.
Yeah.
You know, as you probably remember, my background is in the high-tech semiconductor industry, and I'm kind of myself a hardware guy. And in the past 4 or 5 years, we've been working with a lot of divers, and we realized that, you know, people go diving, they have all these dive computers, but it's kind of difficult or not, let's say, not that easy to write down your log. You know, either you write a piece of paper or you have to go home, hook the computer to a cable, and then you don't find the cable, the driver don't work, and you give up.
Yeah, that's right. So, you just forget about it, and then next thing you know, you haven't been logging your dives, and you kind of space
exactly.
it off. Yeah, blow it off.
Exactly. So in this generation of people connected, social media, and things like that, we said, well, why don't we come up with something that is easy as 1, 2, 3? You know, you attach it to the BCD, you go diving, and when you surface and you are in a dry place, you just, you know, hook up wirelessly to your smartphones, and you just, you know, complete your dive, you see your profile, and post it on Facebook, tweet it, email, whatever.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Yeah, connect via Bluetooth, right?
Yeah.
So you can hook up your iPhone to it or whatever, have a little dive logging software. I mean, by the way, is that proprietary too, or do you like have a dive log software you can, or app that you can get for your cell phone for this? Is that how it works as well?
Yeah, it comes. The product comes with a BlueBuddy app, you know, my BlueBuddy app, that allows you to retrieve the logs from the device and display the logs on your smartphone, and then you just enter, you know, the body name, the dive site. The app also access our database of dive sites. We have more than thousands of dive sites in our database, and it's compatible with our DivePal software, so you can, after the dive, you can actually analyze your dive and see not just the depth profile and temperature profile, but you can start to play with it and see an example, what was your nitrogen loading. You can use it to plan your next dive and so on and so forth.
Wow. You know, it's pretty cool, and it's very small, just clips to your BC, and you can pretty much put it on, forget about it. And then when you're ready to pull out your cell phone at the end of the day, just click a button, and it uploads to your cell phone via Bluetooth, something like that, right?
Yeah, correct. We're using the new Bluetooth 4.0 low-energy technology. It's a new version of Bluetooth that has been approved more or less a year ago. It is extremely low power, and is now being deployed in all smartphones, in all new smartphones. Initially, we're going to have it for iPhone 4S, iPhone 5, and the new iPad. But we are already working on Windows 8 phones and Android smartphones that use Bluetooth 4.0. So it's going to be quite popular, this technology.
All right. So you're working this through this Kickstarter website. What's the deal? Does this cost millions of dollars to develop the technology or what? What are you doing exactly there?
No, not at all. I mean, it takes some time because we've been working on these specific projects for 1 year now.
Right.
The way Kickstarter works, I kind of like it. We could have done this project without Kickstarter,
right?
But we wanted to use Kickstarter also as a way to get the name out there, because the Kickstarter it's quite successful in terms of providing funding for new projects and new company. I was reading their stats for last year; they raised something like $320 million, and they funded thousands and thousands of projects. From a user point of view, you pledge whatever you want to put in. You know, in our case, the minimum is $1, and the maximum, I think, is $139. If the product doesn't reach its goal, you're not getting charged, you're not losing any money. Only in the case we reach our goal. In our case, I think we're almost there. You know, we are like 80%
nice.
Of our goal, and we still have 18 days to go. So I'm quite confident that this is going to be well-funded.
So if you help them out on Kickstarter and make a pledge of a certain level, you actually get a discount on one of the first products that are available to the public. And you'll have the hottest and greatest new piece of dive gear that all your fellow dive buddies on the dive boat will be drooling over and say, "Suck it!" And that's a good thing when it comes to divers. They like that.
Yeah, in fact, we call it, bragging rights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same kind of thing. Yeah. All right, excellent. Good luck to you, Alberto. Great stuff. Blue Buddy, look it up on Kickstarter. Good to hear you're doing well, Alberto. We'll talk to you again real soon, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
We're off to get an update on the Our World Underwater Dive Show next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
On the line with me right now is my good buddy from Our World Underwater, Pat Hammer, getting ready for another big event in Chicago next month. Right, Pat?
You got it.
So what's going on this year? Well, first of all, how many years has Our World Underwater been going on?
We're celebrating 43.
43 years. And this year, bigger and better as ever.
Yeah, looking good.
It is the middle of winter in Chicago. And what else are you going to do? You might as well get away from being snowed in a little bit, I guess, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you get this cold. It's like 20 degrees outside. It's freezing. You're right next to the O'Hare Airport. We have a lot of travel people here. Pick up a trip and go to the airport and get out of here.
That's right. This is your ticket to escape the local surroundings here in Chicago this time of year. All right, so what do we got going on? I know the Scuba Cowboys up there representing for Scuba Radio, playing his latest scuba tunes for divers and entertaining everybody. What else you got going on at Our World Underwater this year?
Well, I know we got some exciting things with the manufacturers. There's some great sales going on, and the manufacturers come up with some unique ways of selling their product and helping people out. So that's going to be really good. There's a lot of dive stores there this year, so I'm excited about that. We've got a really big children's section. We increased it by an extra 20 by 80 foot. So we've really increased the kids area with the whale. You can walk in and walk through and look at the whale and see how they are, the shark. You got two bouncy toys there where the kids can go on slides and play around.
Nice. So you keep the kids happy while you go out and see some things that can enhance your underwater adventures. And it all benefits a big portion of it benefits Our World Underwater Scholarship Fund, right?
Well, the scholarship, Tim Early Foundation with the show, it helps aquatic education and aquatic programs here in the Midwest. It also helps Ralph Erickson Educational Foundation, which promotes kids and people who can become dive instructors can't afford it. Your foundation helps pay for the instructor development class.
It just does an amazing amount of great work for the dive industry in the Midwest. You need to be a part of it. OurWorldUnderwater.com. Go there. Any last thoughts there, Pat?
Friday night and Saturday night film festivals are hot. Really, really looking good.
All right. Don't miss it. The dates are?
February 15th, 16th, and 17th.
All right, there you go. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 109. You'll get no bacon from spearing a hogfish.
A pig, maybe.
And here's something else to consider. Brain coral cannot help you with a crossword puzzle or Sudoku. But mowing the lawn in snowshoes, well, what can I say?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Glad to see you made it here okay. Sorry I lost you on the way from the airport there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a good thing I had an extra set of directions.
Forgot you were following me and I got ahead of you in traffic.
It's all good, but it's a good example of why I have a backup plan.
And a nice segue into today's topic. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when you get separated from your buddy and the backup plan doesn't work.
Knowing what to do when a diver goes missing is an excellent skill to have. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with something simple. For whatever reason, you and your buddy get separated on the way back from the airport. I mean, the dive.
That's something you and your buddy should have discussed before you left the terminal or entered the water. You should have a plan in place that in the event that you're separated during a dive, you know what steps you'll have to take to reconnect.
Such as?
Such as agreeing that if separated, you'll immediately go to a designated point to rendezvous. Maybe it's an anchor or a scent line. Maybe it's at some other landmark you know will be on the dive. Another plan often agreed upon is that when you realize you've lost contact, search for about a minute underwater and then ascend and reconnect on the surface.
But the important thing is to know what you'll do and follow the plan, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens if you follow your reconnection plan, but you still can't find your buddy?
Well, then you're dealing with a missing diver. In that scenario, immediately notify anybody nearby, either on the boat or on the shore, that you've got a missing diver in the water. You should not undertake that search by yourself without a plan and support in place.
Since there's always the possibility the missing diver is having some kind of trouble, I'm guessing it's better to treat the matter as urgent?
Urgent, yes. Panic, no. Start by marking the spot where you came up with a marker buoy. And if you have some immobile objects around you, like a tree or a building or a rock formation, use them as reference points. Next, see if anyone can spot the missing diver's bubbles. If spotted, it really helps target the missing diver's location and where to start looking.
Assuming they have bubbles to spot.
Ooh, that's true. If the diver is using a rebreather, searching for bubbles isn't going to help you.
And if the bubbles are spotted?
Send a diver in to check them out. Meanwhile, you should be providing the support team with as much information as possible. What the plan profile was, what directions you intended to swim, what happened on the dive, and at what point you became separated. Anything that can prove useful in the search.
You can even be doing that while you're looking for bubbles, can't you?
Absolutely. And when you're looking for those bubbles, be sure to look in every direction, not just where you think the missing diver should be. Oftentimes, the separation is the result of a diver simply getting disoriented or lost.
What about enlisting the help of others?
The more the merrier. If you're on a boat, contact other boats in the area to see if the missing diver mistakenly boarded the wrong vessel. And if they're not on anyone's deck, enlist the help of everyone you can find. If you're on shore, have others scanning the water, checking the surrounding areas. Believe it or not, sometimes the missing diver has simply gotten out of the water and returned to their vehicle.
And if all that doesn't help?
It's likely time to start the underwater search. Searches should be conducted in teams, both for the safety of the searchers and to ensure that the resources needed are available in case a rescue is involved. Search teams should not enter the water without a solid plan in place. The plan should include an agreed-upon search area, search pattern, and time limits. If there are enough divers available, organize standby dive teams to pick up where the first team leaves off and to lend additional assistance if it becomes necessary.
What about other divers in the water?
If they are part of the group, you may want to institute a recall or regroup and reorganize everyone back on the boat or the shore. They may be able to lend assistance in providing information about what was happening underwater, or, profile permitting, they may be able to join the search. It's also possible that the missing diver will surface upon the recall, as the recall itself may be all that he or she needs to find their way back.
What procedures should the search teams follow?
They should always stay together, and they should never deviate from the plan they put in place. At no time should the searchers put themselves in danger while looking for a missing diver. Generally, the marked spot is used as a starting point, and the search expands in an agreed-upon direction from there.
There are different search patterns you can use. Which one should you?
Well, it really depends on the topography of the dive site and the conditions and visibility, but the most commonly used patterns include the U pattern, expanding squares, and circular search patterns. If a dive is being done in a specific or concentrated area, like a wreck for example, you may simply have several dive teams doing random searches, but more often than not, a more formal approach is used.
Hopefully, at some point in all this, the missing diver will be found. But if the unfortunate occurs and he's not?
Then it's time to call the authorities. In fact, you can call them at any point in this process. If you feel like you need additional assistance, don't hesitate to call for it. When you're looking for a missing diver, you know you're working against the clock, so use whatever resources you have available to you.
And hopefully it'll come out all right.
In most cases it does. Most missing divers are usually just buddy teams that got separated for one reason or another. Sometimes it's preventable, sometimes not, which is why it's crucial to communicate with one another before you enter the water and stick to the plan you create.
And if you're following me from the airport,
bring a GPS.
Right. The search for a missing diver is something that should be undertaken quickly, but with a plan. Use whatever tools you have handy to help in the search, and don't be afraid to ask for help. But do your best to avoid going missing in the first place. Know the plan you and your buddy are to follow, and stick to it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, so have you ever wanted to own a piece of the reef? Well, I don't know. Maybe parts of the reef are going to be for sale eventually. At least that's what my buddy Jeff from South Florida Diving Headquarters tells me. There's some rumblings in the legislature or Congress about... What is this about making the reefs a zone that hoteliers and things can buy? What's going on, Jeff?
Well, it's not a new idea per se. They had tried to instigate this on land or in national parks and have hotels take over national parks and build hotels, and then they would have to pay for the upkeep and maintenance of the national park and mm-hmm. so forth and so on. But now they've extended it to reefs, Florida. Is considering, or I don't know, I don't know exactly who's considering yet, but it's part of the Conservation Leadership Council is the group that's proposing a lot of this stuff, and that's what they're calling themselves, and they'd like to see Florida assign marine property rights to businesses that will restore and maintain the reef. Like, for instance, a hotel on the beach would be able to buy a section of the reef and beach in front of them, and they would be tasked with maintaining it and preserving it and maybe creating coral farms or whatever. But in turn, they would actually also be able to charge people entry fees and so forth and so on.
It's like making an underwater theme park.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of, Greg. I mean, think about this back then, and when a lot of these hotels were pumping sewage out into the ocean many years back. I don't know if you remember when they put all the little, the little foam things down the toilets in
little
Miami.
Little foam peanuts, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Remember that? So we're going to let these people be in charge of the reef now, right? That's
interesting.
A great idea.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like a roundabout way to start accessing or, putting access fees.
Access.
Yeah, divers, and whether you got to pay a hotelier or the government or whatever.
Sure.
I don't know. This is one of those convoluted type of proposals that's like wrapped up in a nice conservation area. Oh, we're going to finance, yeah, you know, coral restoration. It's going to be great for the environment. And next thing you know, divers getting hit with all these extra fees that, you know, we probably shouldn't be having to pay anyway.
It's selling off public land in a sense that you'll still have public access, but you'll have to pay for it. Let's say four or five hotels owned a major part of the reef in Pompano Beach. Each location that you wanted to dive in, you'd end up having to pay them.
I'd like to put a bid in on the Sea Emperor wreck site. Can
I? Oh, yeah, you better get that bid in now. I'm going to, you know what, my idea is to buy the outfall pipe, the stink hole. Then I'm just going to plug it and let everybody's toilets back up.
Hey, and hold them for ransom. I want right. $500 from every homeowner, otherwise yeah, you're going to have poo popping up out of your toilets in South Florida.
It's just how crazy this is, man. I tell you, I don't know how much. I've just seen this, and it's just coming down the pipe. I don't think it has any major legs yet, but it's something that everybody needs to keep on their, or at least everybody that uses the marine resource needs to keep on their radar. And you can check it out at CLC, Conservation Leadership Council. Just Google it, and you'll probably be able to see some of their ideas.
We'll keep our ears open on this one and cover it accordingly on the big show and keep our divers informed. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio.
You want to go dive naked?
In the bathtub? In the hotel?
Young man, when you like to go down, I said, young man, are there girls that you found? I said, young man, that you think should be crowned.
Bays underwater, breathing air, young man,
there's a place you can go. I said,
young man,
it's Scuba Radio. Just go
log on
and see the dive buddy
that would make male divers happy.
Call me daddy.
It's fun to look at the B-U-V-A. It's fun to look at the B-U-V-A.
Oh, mama.
It's not the fish or the reef or expensive dive toys. We all know what the guys enjoy. It's fun to look at the B-U-V-A. It's fun
time to look at the B-U-B-A-A.
Call me Daddy.
You can get yourself seen just by striking up balls, but do not forget your air hose. Yeah!
If he does that again, you can shoot him.
Yeah, it's an oldie but a goodie, the B-U-B-A song, Babes Underwater Breathing Air. The appropriate song to play for Mermaid Lizzie. She doesn't know it, but I guess she falls into that category as well. Lizzie is on Scuba Radio, and I guess the first thing I should say is I'm sorry. Is that right, Lizzie, or what? Did you like that?
I like that song.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Lizzie is one of our star mermaids. She is a super diver, and she is doing some training up there in Gainesville with some students and things that is at a level that I'm not even accustomed to. You just started teaching some divers to become dive masters. And how big is your class, Lizzie?
Right now we have 10 students. It's a big class.
10 dive master candidates. Now, mm-hmm. And this is done with the University of Florida dive program, and your buddy Doug and you guys kind of work together and help these kids out or something. Or does he doesn't even have anything to do with that, I guess. Does he or does he?
No, it's all me.
It's all you. She literally, she's like holding the diving world on her shoulders. And, 10 dive master candidates. Now, you've done this before, Lizzie, but is this even for you the biggest dive master class you've had to manage yourself or what?
Definitely at one time. Over my summer job, sometimes I'll have anywhere from 7 to 10, but they'll be broken up throughout the whole summer. So this is kind of the biggest chunk I've ever bitten off to chew, and it turned out so far, fingers crossed, it's only week two. It's going really well, though.
Very nice. So these 10 students, they're in college here at the University of Florida. And is this like an elective course they're doing, or how does this tie into their major or whatever?
Yeah, so essentially they can sign up for this class no matter what their major is. And basically, they've heard about it in some way or another. Actually, 9 of the 10 were in the advanced class last semester. So
I see.
They all loved it so much they just signed up again. A lot of them are actually marine bio or trying to get into that field. So it's kind of on par with their major, some just for fun.
Nice. Well, yeah. Okay, so it's kind of an elective course, but it may tie in if they're having a major that has some kind of element in the oceans, marine biology, that kind of thing. And that's
exactly.
Great. And I would imagine the fact that they did their initial dive class with you is a testament to your teaching skills if they've all wanted to move forward into the dive master class. You have taught them well, or they think, hey, I want to continue this journey with this crazy mermaid super dive master girl. Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Yes, of course. Take credit, as you should. So of these 10 folks that are going through this program, what is the ratio? Is it all guys? Is it a few girls,
no.
too, or what?
Yeah, I actually have 4 girls, and I'm really excited about that.
Very nice. All right, so a nice even split. And so far, have you had them in the water? Have they actually done some skills for their dive master course in the water? Is it all classroom stuff at the moment?
No, it's very immersive. So we have 3 days a week, 2 days in the pool and 1 in the classroom. One of the days we're just working on dive master skills, and the other day in the pool, they're actually kind of leading the advanced class. So they get both their skills out of the way, and also they get to move into more of a role of dive master on a different night of the week.
Very
but,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty immersive, 6 hours, and I don't cut them any slack. So.
Yeah, you are a hardcore dive instructor. I have no doubt about it. I'm sure I would have failed miserably under your tutelage.
You wouldn't have even passed the swim test.
What? Come on. Give me a little more credit than that, Lizzie. Jeez.
All right. Maybe the swim test.
Okay. Maybe. But I don't know. I've seen Lizzie dive. She's a great diver. And you've seen me dive. And, well, I guess that explains why you just said that, which is sad. Sad state of affairs. But, you know, it's been a long time since I went through my dive master course. But, you know, from what I remember, dive master, the certification process of becoming a dive master is actually harder than the instructor portion of the course. This is where you really have to bring in all the physiology and all the, you know, first aid elements and bring them all together and really know your stuff. Would you agree with me on this?
Yes, this is, I think, where you learn the most. Whereas the instructor course, you're more of fine-tuning your presentation skills and your knowledge base. But this is where the bulk of the learning happens.
It is. And it was a very tough class for me because I had went from my advanced open water class, and then I took a break for like 5-6 years. And then I jumped into Dive Master course and did this. And and I had to do a little, backpedaling to kind of pick up where I had, forgot a few things. But it is good to kind of go right into that element if you can. Getting some dives in under your belt first, obviously, as well. But to jump right into it and continuing your education in, is a good thing. You'd recommend that, I guess, right?
Yeah, I definitely kept up with it. I gave myself a little bit of time to do some diving in between each of my courses and then to work as a dive master before I became an instructor. But as long as you keep your skills fresh, I think that's the most important thing.
Well, there you go. Words of wisdom by our star scuba radio mermaid and super dive instructor, Mermaid Lizzie.
Woo!
Yay, woo! That's right. All right. Hey, hour two is coming up. We got more great stuff to cover here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.